HarperCollins presents A Thousand Roads Home by Carmel Harrington, read by Jill Crawford and Frank Grimes.
There are a thousand ways to kneel and kiss the ground. There are a thousand ways to go home again. Rumi. Prologue. Then. Ruth fastened the seatbelt around her newborn son's car seat. She tugged it twice to double-check it was secure. Little DJ puckered his lips and smiled as he chased his dreams, the way babies do. She switched the engine on and drove away from the only world she knew. But she was not sorry. It was just her and her son now. Whilst there was fear, there was excitement too. It was time for a new beginning. She looked in the rear-view mirror to ensure her sleeping son was as he should be. She would do this many times until they arrived at their new flat in Dublin. Ruth Wilde had always been a person with obsessions. Odd Thomas, who was both her imaginary best friend and the main character from her favourite book written by Dean Kuntz. She would soon finish this book for the 104th time. Westlife, her number one favourite band, whose song, Flying Without Wings, helped her drown out the white noise and anxiety whenever it threatened to overcome her. Mashed potatoes, white sliced loaf, bananas, ice cream, in fact, any food that was white in colour. Counting steps, always even. Yes, Ruth Wilde did obsessions very well. And now she had a new one, the most important one of all, her son. She would be a good mother. She would fight for DJ when he could not fight for himself. She would keep him safe from the dangers that lurked in the dark shadows. She would make him laugh at least once a day, and she would love him as she had never been loved herself. Yes, it was time. Ruth was ready to leave Wexford to make a new home for her family. "Just the two of us against the world, DJ," she whispered. She hit play on her CD player, letting Shane from Westlife's voice fill the car. The words from Flying Without Wings had never felt more apt. For as long as Ruth had thought, she too had been looking for that something. Something to make her complete. She glanced at DJ again in the rearview mirror and felt joyful satisfaction bubble its way up inside her. If she had not chosen that exact second to do this, she might have noticed instead the man she'd just passed, walking with a rucksack on his back, and she might have stopped.
Tom did not notice the red car pass him by either, as he walked along the estuary road towards the N11. His head was full of the warnings his friend Ben had made earlier. They nipped and taunted him, whirling around in his brain, tangling everything up, until he could no longer make sense of anything. "If you don't find something to light up the darkness, Tom, you'll get lost in the shadows." But what if that was what he wanted? Tom didn't believe he would ever feel peace again. He was bone-tired from weeks of sleepless nights. Despite this, he kept on walking, putting one foot in front of the other. His pace was steady, and a few hours later, he arrived in the town of Enniscorthy. Tom's feet were beginning to protest about the long walk. A throb in his right little toe and left heel set up residence. He welcomed the pain. He walked over the Seamus Rafter Bridge, leaving the banks of the River Slaney behind him. He glanced at Enniscorthy Castle on his right and then made his way towards Main Street. It was late, the last of the daylight now swallowed up by the night. He didn't plan to end up here, but somehow he'd found himself in the grounds of St. Aidan's Cathedral. He walked to a small clearing in the shadow of the big church and sat down, his back against the cold stone wall. For in that sleep of death, what dreams will come? That's what Shakespeare had written. Tom hoped he was right, because if so, Kathy was living the life they had dreamed they would have, the life that had been cruelly snatched from them. Wouldn't that be something? Close your eyes. Kathy? Yes, my love. Are you here? Remember what I told you.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?